Hey guys, welcome to my very first podcast of Davos Film Podcast, or Davos Movie Podcast, my bad. And I just want to thank these guys, Brian Sheehan and from Pennsylvania, am I correct? If that's what it's on Facebook, Brian?
That is correct. I mean, I personally pronounce it Sheehan, but I've heard it many ways, so I'll take anything.
Oh, my bad. And Julian Slick,
all good.
Where are you from again, Julian?
I'm from Faroe Island.
All right, where's Faroe Islands at?
It's upon Scandinavia.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Denmark.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. So, guys, I'll let y'all introduce yourselves and what podcast y'all do. Y'all can go ahead. Whoever wants to start first.
Improvising. Maybe for you to go first.
All right. Yeah, sure. Hey, I'm Brian. I host the podcast TV Trivia Pod. It's just a podcast about TV trivia. You know, I've always enjoyed it when, being the person that's able to, like, finish that next line or, like, know exactly what scene someone is talking about in a TV show. And that's kind of the premise I just went and rolled with for this podcast. So I have guests come on, they answer questions about a specific show, season, and number of episodes. So that way they can watch the episodes ahead of time before I ask them questions. And then, I just ask them, right now I've covered The Office, The Boys, and Rick and Morty. So it's questions like, what's the name of Angela's cat that Dwight put in the freezer? Or in The Boys, the Church of the Collective, what drink does the Church of the Collective always offer its members? And Rick and Morty question, what app does Jeremy develop with Rick's alien intern? So, you know, just questions like that, just from TV shows. Again, I've covered The Office, Rick and Morty, and The Boys. Looking forward to covering Community, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Bob's Burgers. I'm hoping to cover a whole lot in the future here, but as I'm just getting started, that's everything I have right now. So it's a lot of fun, and you can definitely listen and play along, see if you do as well as the contestants do.
Cool.
I like it a lot.
I understand. Okay, Julian, you think you got it?
Yeah, I think so. It's nice. Well, I can try. Well, as you can see, my name is Julian Slick. It's not my actual name, but it's my YouTube name, and it's also a podcast that I host, which is called Buds and Mates, where I, such a bad name, I don't know what it's quite to say. Well, I'm the host, and I try to invite a guest once per week, and we usually discuss movies, series, games, music, whatever it be, mostly entertainment. And we try to discuss the film's quality overall, if you should watch it, if it'd be something for you, and what kind of audience it appeals to. So that's the gist of it, for the most part. Else I do is just normal videos discussing maybe something in a film or a movie or a game. I'm mostly a game analytical person, if that makes sense. So I think that's all to say about me, but that's all.
Where did the name Butts and Mates come from?
So the first guy I had on my podcast, his name was Mobo Butts, and he always called me Butts, like buddy or something like that, and I always called him Mate. So it was dumb, but I just thought, like, Butts and Mates, it doesn't help all that, but I like it, you know. People sometimes think it means butt slight in the booty. So
that is the first thing that I thought of. So
yeah. But it means butts with a D, so
awesome.
That is pretty cool.
And Dave-O, again, this is the pilot episode of your podcast. What made you want to do this?
Well, I do a gaming podcast too with my friend Marcus called Dave-O and Friends Gaming Podcast. And I know with this COVID thing lately and, and me and him, we work at the same place. So we work at a distribution center for the company Carhartt, the clothing company. And it was just something I always wanted to do, a movie podcast, because he's married, and I only have a girlfriend, and I just live by myself, so, with a cat, so, but I just felt like doing a movie podcast, and I didn't know where else to see, because he doesn't have Netflix, or Hulu. He prefers YouTube most of the time, which I don't have a problem with that, which he has DVDs too, so, but he doesn't have the streaming stuff like we do. But, I appreciate y'all guys for introducing yourself. So, for those who don't know, if y'all guys are ready to go into the topic, or for me to start the topic.
Let's do it.
Alright. So, if y'all just saw the title, we are doing, Back to the Future. The first three episodes are going to be the Back to the Future trilogy. Now, the reason why I wanted to do the trilogy, this trilogy right here, was because I've never seen the Back to the Future trilogy, except for the first one, which I just saw. And so, I wanted to start in...
Because of this podcast, man.
Yeah, because of the podcast. And that's why I thought I wanted to do a movie that... I wanted to do a movie that, like, I haven't seen yet. Like, just going in fresh take, and then we just do... movies we haven't seen yet, so, or movies we have seen, or some, whatever the future, whatever goes along in the future, so. But, I'm gonna ask y'all this. What did y'all think about this movie, like, when y'all, like, not after watching the movie, but, like, what did you think when you saw, like, trailers, or, like, commercials, or bits and pieces on a TV? What did y'all think about this movie before you watched it, or something?
When did this movie come out? 1985? I was not quite born yet when this movie came out, so I did not watch any trailers or anything for this movie. All I knew is it's a classic. People love it. You know, I think the movie poster is quite memorable. You know, that's an easy one to, like, picture in your mind. Yeah, and it just sounded like, you know, a fun movie to watch is all I can really remember going into it. I knew not to expect, you know, a sci-fi revelation game-changing movie. You know, I knew this was going to be a fun movie, I guess. You know, your typical 80s comedy.
Yeah. What about you, Julian?
Well, I was not even close to being alive when the movie came out. So I didn't see no trailers or anything. I mostly saw was it Brian or David? Sorry, what? I mixed it up. The thing you said that about I mostly saw it because how popular it is, and it's a classic. But other than that, I remember I saw it when I was a bit younger, and I couldn't remember anything of it. So when I saw it here again, I was quite entertained, and I didn't expect a Godfather film, but it did its job, and that's being a classic, and I guess it became popular. But that's all I gotta say.
Okay. I think this movie holds up really well. Too. I remember, again, the first time I remember rewatching this was in college, which was, I guess, early 2010s, and I remember, like, laughing out loud at some parts. Like, I'm very impressed with this movie once I saw it again, whereas a lot of movies, I think, from the 70s and 80s don't quite have what they did back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I, I've only seen, like, before I watched it, I would see references on it, like I remember a Family Guy, an episode where Peter goes back in time, and the Grim Reaper sends him back in time, there'd be that picture of the, his kids disappearing or something, and I remember seeing that when I first saw that part of the film, I'm like, oh, that's where they got that reference from on Family Guy. But yeah, I heard good things about this movie before I watched it, but I just never got around to watching it. I don't know why. But either way, but I'm glad I watched it. I think it was good. But we'll just, if y'all want to, we'll just start and see how it goes. So for those who haven't seen this movie, it's about a boy named Marty McFly who helps this doctor scientist named Doc Emmett Brown, is it?
Yep.
Okay. And he ends up going traveling back in time to the 1950s in a DeLorean car time machine. So basically, when the movie starts off, it starts off with Marty going into this doctor's room with all these clocks ticking. I was like, huh, that's kind of strange, but pretty cool in a cool way. And basically he heads to the school, and I could see the principal treats him like garbage because saying he's a slacker like his father, and that kind of got me a little upset. I get a little aggravated, like gets under my skin when people are like picking on people or something, because I've been bullied before, so it really gets on me. And he says he's just like his dad or something. So, and you could tell that when he first gets home, like his dad and his high school bully Butch, is it or Biff? I think it's Butch.
Biff.
Okay. I thought it was Biff, and he's like picking on him, you know, just saying, you know, just bullying him basically. And, you know, and then he goes to the, like, in the middle of the night where Doc is in the middle of town, and he tries his time machine, but he ends up stealing plutonium from Libyan terrorist, and he gets shot and killed, and Marty goes into the DeLorean time machine, and it winds up going back in time. Brian, you mentioned that you had a...
It's all right. I'd like to stop there and talk about...
Yeah, that's fine. I was actually about to go there. I was going to ask if you wanted to mention something about that.
Oh, man. Just that whole scene right there where they're testing out the time machine for the first time is obnoxious, I think. First, they put a dog in the front seat with the timer around his neck and send this dog into the future, right?
Yeah.
In a remote-controlled car at this point. Which there was absolutely no need to risk that dog's life in this experiment. You know? All he needed to do was put the timer in the front seat and control the car. You know, there was just no reason for the dog to be there.
Yeah, don't you... Oh, yeah, go ahead, Julian.
I think it's absolutely hilarious that the film... I don't know if I want to say this, maybe, but it tackles ISIS, in a way, with the terrorists. And, they had no filter back then. I just think it's hilarious to see how... they make... The plot wouldn't happen if, apparently, ISIS... didn't exist in this universe, or whatever it is. I don't remember what they were.
In the movie, they were Libyan terrorists.
Yeah.
Which again, how did that happen in this small town? You know, we see a little, you know, camera, you know, but go around the center of town. This is not the metropolis of society here. You know, where did these Libyan terrorists come from? Where did Doc see this ad for them to make a bomb and then get the idea to steal the plutonium? There's a lot of weird stuff that happened there. There's definitely either more going behind the scenes than we realize, or something's just crazy.
I think, well, when we first see the the time travel guys when I began to realize this is a very not caring film. Like, it's going to be filled with plot holes. It's not going to make sense. So I just have to say to myself, just shut up. Just watch the film. Don't think about it. Have fun. But it's so hard sometimes because it's just mind-boggling that this is how this solution is going to be solved. Like, I don't know if people think this film is like, I've heard some people say that this film is well written, and I just can't take that serious. I have to laugh.
I know I kind of had to speed through most of the rest of it here. I was playing at a little bit of a faster speed, but I will say for the rest of the movie, nothing else stood out to me as much as these Libyan terrorists in a small town that, again, they are putting this dog in this living creature here in this car where it's not necessarily even needed. And then they go out of their way to stand in front of a speeding car when they could have easily had the same effect just by standing to the side and watching the car time travel, you know? It's like just that extra effort to stand directly in front of the car, which is crazy to me.
I don't know if we're gonna talk about this later or we could just talk about it right now, but I can shortly mention it, but just the scene, the whole film is about him going back to the future and trying to get back. Now the dog knows in the future that he's going to in 1985 go back to the future and going to be stuck there. So why doesn't he stop him or do it another time?
Are you saying that the doc knows that Marty's going to get stuck in the future? In the past, I mean?
In the past, yeah.
You know what? I was thinking about this a little. Dave, feel free to tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think this time travel movie functions in that way. I think a lot of the time travel movies we see now, or at least a couple I can think of, like Predestination, and I can't think of them off the top of my head, but you know, a lot of it is this was the way it was the entire time. You know, they went back to the past. It looks like they changed something, but later we see like that needed to happen to get the future where it was. But when Marty gets back, it's a completely different future.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think that had happened before. You know, I don't think the doc we saw at the beginning of the movie is necessarily the same doc as we see in the past. Or at least he's a different version of the one we saw in the past.
So it's like in Avengers Endgame, basically. You know, when they go back, they go not only back to the future, but they create, they end up different multiverse, almost like. And when they return, they go back. Okay, it's not quite the same. But it has to be a multiverse, then.
The only time I saw Endgame was in theaters, but I feel like they acted like some of the stuff, when they went back the first time, was supposed to happen and like, move stuff along in the movie, in like the movies that we have seen. And then again, and they do go back because Cap decides to stay back at the very end. Spoilers for Avengers Endgame, you should have seen it by now. Shame on you. But, I don't know. I guess it would be a multiverse because clearly there's the timeline where that continues where I guess Doc is dead. So he gets shot. And then there's the new timeline when McFly, when Marty returns, protects himself, and again, his parents are totally different people.
Yeah,
wait a second. But does that mean that family? Oh, okay. Well, now I'm even more confused because the dog comes back. The same thing, at least, the same dog comes back. And if that multiverse theory is correct, then, you know, only is Doc dead in that timeline, but also that family no longer has a son because he went to the past and came back in a different future.
Yeah, I think...
I said the film's broken.
Yeah.
It's an explanation.
Yeah, I think it's one of those films that just takes, like, especially when it comes to time traveling, it's like a whole different hard equation, sort of. Like, because I know in the movie, Doc mentions, like, he mustn't know what's in the future because he needs to let time go how it's supposed to be, or something, how it's usually supposed to be. If it's okay, let's continue on with how the movie goes out. So, either way, after Marty goes into the past, he goes into this restaurant and encounters his father that was in high school, younger father, and the younger Biff bully, too. So, he follows him and then goes, he sees his dad pop peeping at his mom before they met, and his dad falls off the tree, and Marty pushed him away so he doesn't get hit by his mom's dad's car, and that's when he gets knocked out. And then I think the movie turns out to be Marty trying to get his parents to hook up so that way he won't be out of existence, you know, because that's what it's mostly mainly about, is him trying to get...
I wish that would have been a title for the movie.
What?
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Because the whole film is surrounded by the fact that, if you think about this, time travel, this is one of the first time travel films. You have limited opportunities to do something awesome with that. It's every kid's dream to go back in the past or into the future or anything and see how the world is or something like that. And what they decide to do is make a film where a guy tries to hook up each other, their parents. I don't know. I just feel like it's a waste of potential. Like, time travel. We're talking about time travel. They go back to Rome and see the Pompeii incident. But we want to see her in real life. Like, it's not...
I would say... Yeah, I was reading a little bit of trivia here, and apparently Doc wanted to make another movie where they do go back to Rome and see what that would have been like.
That would be more fun.
Hmm.
I must admit, if they do it well, like the whole thing with the parents, like I think it's funny, but still, it's like, of all the options you could have done, this is the one. If this was a sequel, I think it will be butchered to death, but because it's the first one, of course, also gets a lot more praise, but what do I know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was a really important part of the movie, you know, if he was going to fade out of existence if this didn't happen. So, I mean, it was necessary, maybe not a super exciting or, you know, it wasn't edge-of-your-seat time travel movie, definitely more of, I have seen a hot tub time machine, but I imagine a more comedic take on it.
Yeah. No. It just feels like a bad soap opera, the whole that part, actually, the romance in the film. Like, have you really thought about how weird it is that the director thought, let's make a film where the main character is his own mother? I don't know. I personally get kind of limp. And I saw the scene, like his, I want to die. Like, it's not a nice feeling to have to see it.
You know, I got a kick out of it, though. I thought it was funny. You know, I mean, it was a super awkward situation that you just hope you never find yourself in. You know, one can only hope.
One thing I thought was pretty interesting, like when his mom was, like, into Marty, his own mother, before he goes into the past, like, while everything is kind of his parents, how his dad's kind of very submissive and very scared, and his mother is kind of religious and alcoholic or something like that. And it turns like his girlfriend, like Mari's girlfriend, she didn't want him around him in the first part of the movie. But when you see her as a teenager, you can tell she's has the hots for him, like pretty horny or something. Like if you remember, like I remember in a scene where they're in the dinner table with their parents, and like she's like, he can sleep in my room, and she like touches his knee or puts her hand on his knee. I'm like, okay, this is really something.
I mean, she was reading his underwear.
Yeah, Calvin Klein.
But man, was that again really tough predicament, just because his mom was a hottie, you know?
This film a classic. Like, here's the thing. I believe classic films do so well because they are power fantasies. All of them. Jurassic Park, Superman, Back to the Future. It's every kid dreams to see a dinosaur. It's every kid dream to be a superhero. It's every kid's dream to travel back into the time.
Wait, I just put the Godfather in that mix.
Yeah.
If you dream to be a gangster.
It's nobody's dream to be a gangster in kids' life. So that's why film isn't really that widespread. It's not one of the first films you see. And it's kind of because this is what cinema is always becoming. It's becoming Godzilla 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Because we just like to see destruction. And I believe Back to the Future kind of didn't begin it, but it was a part of that. Of just, we don't need to make actually written stories. We just need to appeal to a childlike idea. Because film is just a walking sponsorship. Like, I noticed so many advertisements, not the film, by Pepsi, by Burger King, random malls and all that. Like I noticed it, and it just feels like if Martin Scorsese saw it, or Quentin Tarantino, they would like to spit on his face. And I can acknowledge, yeah, it's a classic, but it's what's taking over the whole industry right now. You don't need to make a good film. Well, you just need to make a cool concept. I don't know. That was kind of a rant. Sorry.
I personally didn't pick up on the advertisement parts as much. I don't know. Again, even seeing this movie in the 2010s, I did get a lot of laughs out of this movie. And, you know, I think I did enjoy this movie a lot.
Yeah, I did like where...
I rarely laughed.
Oh, go ahead, Julian.
No, it's a short thing. I never laughed at the film. I think I laughed most with it. So, I'm just saying, it's a very fun film to watch. And I did enjoy it, especially the Christopher Lloyd. I mean, he is a acting genius, man. So it's definitely a fun film. No doubt about
memorable performance.
Yeah, I don't think I laughed at this movie. I mean, don't get me wrong, the movie's good. I liked it, and I would definitely watch it again. It's a fun movie. But the only time I would get so happy, like, you know, get like. That got me pumped up is like when his dad punches Biff, like from punches Biff when he's like trying to, well, I'm just gonna say it, rape his mom or something. That's what it looked like he was about to do, and he just punches him with one punch, like KO, and I'm like, go you, you know, go Marty's dad, you know, because like I said, boy, I like it when bullies get their just deserves. Yeah, I know it sounds weird, but
yeah, no, it's exactly true. When you saw him curl up with that fist and then just whop him, you were like, boom, there it is, you know.
I'm trying to think, what's the moral of the story or the theme?
Don't take the past.
Don't change the past, but the film ends on a note that feels like that because he changed the past is a good thing.
That is true. That is
Yeah, because
the film is. I think the theme of the film is that if you set your mind on something, you can accomplish it. Something that he says along the film. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That's what that came to my mind was if you set your mind to something. That line that his dad. That Marty told his dad's younger self and his dad who became older that I think that's what I was thinking of the theme was too.
But it's kind of a weird theme, sorry. It's kind of a weird theme because in the film, like, he marries before, like, he goes back to the past and changes everything. In the beginning of the film, you can see that the mom she highly likes her husband or the thing she wants in the past. I'm like, oh, that's nice. But at the end of the film, we learn that he's better because he stood up to himself. But I feel like almost that's a weird moral to teach because he was just almost just being himself, if that makes sense. She married him, the father, because that he was this, I can't remember what she said. She said something specific. He was so nervous or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was something. She mentioned why she married him, and this feels like, oh, that's nice, but in the end of the film, it's like, nah, it's better if he did this way. I don't know if that makes sense. I just feel it's kind of weird when I feel like morals should be about be the best that you are.
Yeah.
I mean, props to you guys for looking for a theme. I personally try and go into movies not looking for one. You know, if I feel like a movie is trying to teach me something, that makes me upset. You know, I don't, like, I'm not here for a life lesson. Just entertain me, please.
No, but I just feel like, well, I just notice it. That's just the thing I just noticed it. I think it fit into the film very well. Because I believe you can put themes into film, but it just, to do it, just make it right. If it appeals to the audience, it appeals to the audience. And those who notice it, I think they get something out of it. And those who don't care, they're not going to think about it.
Right.
That's all I have to say. It was just, I can't remember what my point was in the beginning.
Yeah, and usually, I think
the story.
Yeah, we'll end the story. We'll go ahead and end the story. So after Marty finally goes back into the present, he wakes up. Doc turns out read his letter. Who tried to not know what would happen to him in the future, but he had a bulletproof vest on at the end from when the Libyan terrorist shot him, and he was like, well, I just thought, what the hell, you know? So, and then he drives Marty back to his home, and then, then he wakes up in the morning. Everything's completely different. His siblings and his parents, they're a lot different now. His father's more, well, I don't know how to say it, I don't know how to explain it, actually. I don't want to say cocky because he didn't seem that way. Yeah, confident. Confident. Thank you, Brian. Manly. Yeah. Yeah. And did you say manly, Julie? Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, manly, too. And he finally finishes the story, and then Marty gets that truck he always wanted, like that big black pickup truck, sort of. And his girlfriend comes to him, and then Doc comes out of nowhere from the future and has to come get him because something's happened with his kids. And it ends there, starring the next movie. And so that's the end of the story, basically. It just leads up to the second one. The second one, I've only seen bits of it on TV, but I don't know much about. I don't know what much about it, so. But I've heard the second one is a bit better, is the best one in the trilogy. I'm not for sure. I mean, I could be wrong, but I haven't seen the trilogy.
Get out of town.
What?
You've heard the second is the best?
That's what I heard. One friend of mine from work told me that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I
one once.
Go ahead, Julian.
No, for a long time ago, I watched all three films, and I can't remember one thing from the sequel. But I remember the first, and I thought it was my favorite for a while. I haven't seen it for a long time now. But I think if I watch it again, I would have a good laugh at it, just because it's more interesting than the first one. As said, it's not about hooking up. It's about it's about the Wild West and all that. It's a dumb film. I can just remember, but I think that's why I liked it, because it just went all out. Let's go back to the weirdest passage of time.
I will say, according to IMDb, which is something that I read religiously and just double check. This first movie has an 8.5 out of over a million people, putting it as the top number 36 movie of all time, according to IMDb. The first one.
That's a bunch of bullhog. That's stupid.
The second one has a 7.8, which, is actually super respectable. Really, really good score for IMDb for any movie. And Back to the Future Part 3, which I have always heard was terrible, actually has a 7.4, which, again, really good score for a trilogy, all three movies here. So, apparently, that third one is not as bad as people.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't...
Even as good as Julian says.
Yeah, I've heard, I mean... I haven't seen the third one. I've always heard that was the, not a bad one, but the least favorite. But like I said, I'll have to see the next two movies just see, because I've never seen this whole trilogy before. But anyway, I'll just say this. I'll start first. I thought this movie was pretty good. It was a very fun adventure movie. You know, just one of those fun 80s movies, stuff like that. What did y'all think?
I gave this movie an 8 on IMDb, which is my 7 and 8 are my most common. It means that I would happily watch it again. But I enjoyed this movie a lot. I never got to say, the part that always made me laugh out loud was the amount of times people ask if Marty's a sailor. Because of his life vest.
Yeah, I remember that now.
I thought that was funny.
I'm sorry, I'm a bit of a shock because of the IMDb rating. 8.5.
That's 36 of all time.
It's above Shutter Island. It's above No Country for Old Men. It's above the site. The film. It's fine. I think I won't watch it again because I just don't really find classics that I'm appealing, but I think I will show it to one day, Mike. Because it is it's a fun movie. The concept is, of course, something that we all want to experience, and it's just okay. I think I'll give it a 7.7 out of 10, or 7.78 out of 10. To be honest,
yeah. I probably give it probably 7.5 out of 10. I mean, like I said, I mean, I liked this movie. It was good. I mean, I liked it. I mean, I'm not gaga over it, but I just know I've heard a lot of people say it's good. So, but that's pretty much what I think about this movie.
Description for Part 2 in Back to the Future Part 2 takes place in 2015.
What
were you going to say, Dave?
Oh, well, I was going to say some, but I think I'm going to wait for the next episode or some for like Back to the Future Part 2 or some, because it has something. Somebody dressed up as Marty McFly in 2015 one Halloween on the year 2015.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was in college when that happened.
Yeah. Hey, I have one other question before we end up closing this out or anything. I just wanted to get this in. What is Marty's relation to Doc?
It's
why do they hang out?
Well,
yeah, I always thought it was because he was paid, like he was his he worked for
or something, or?
yeah, and he like got money from, but that's not the reason. And then we kind of found out that like he has like a cool relationship with him. Like, I'm just as confused as you did it. They don't give you one reason, because they, in the end, they really have this emotional connection where, like, he's disappointed that Doc is dead and all of that. But we don't have one reason to know why together. It could be because they're just both insane, but who knows?
Dave, any thoughts?
Well, I don't remember him saying how they met or anything like that. I always thought of it maybe as close friends, or maybe a father and son relationship, sort of, or I don't know. Kind of like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I noticed they were a good pair, like a good adventure pair or something, you know? Kind of like,
sure.
You know, yeah. Think of it like Indiana Jones and a woman or something, but except it's Doc and Marty.
Yeah, that was his James Bond girl.
Yeah, I didn't think of it. I don't know why that came to my mind.
Imagine if. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Did you confirm that Marty is not getting paid? So this isn't a job?
I don't think it's a job because they don't say anything.
Yeah, they certainly. I don't remember them saying anything. I just wondered if they said it wasn't either, you know?
It's because I tried to activate my teenage brain, like, what would a teenager do? Well, I would certainly want some cash. I wouldn't work with some old guy who's just talking nonsense half the time. Like, what is he actually doing with Doc half the time? it's not well written. Like, imagine in Star Wars, we didn't know why they don't give us the scene with Han Solo and Luke Skywalker meeting. They're just in the Falcon. Now, let's. You don't need to know anything. Are we friends? I don't know.
It's hard to think of another example to compare that to, because I have trouble thinking of another duo that, you know, I don't know, I guess maybe we don't know the backs. Well, that doesn't seem so odd, you know. Han Solo and Chewie, you know, they work together. They're partners. We know that, and I'm okay with that. That seems normal to me. Yeah. It's hard to pick something out in the Star Wars universe that's not necessarily normal. But, you know, in this present day, you know, normal society movie, just why is this old guy and, you know, high school kid hanging out? There's just one that stood out a little more to me this time I watched it.
Well, they give us some hints in Star Wars, at least, like Chewbacca and Han Solo's relationship, just by simply how it's filmed. Like, you can see Chewbacca, how he's just positioned, that he has a brain. He can hear what they're saying and everything. He looks at, like, what are these guys saying? And just from that, you know, these guys are close. They're partners. Of course, they're a brother, because one's an ape and one is a human. So that's, like, well written, I believe, by not saying anything. But here, it doesn't work because you can see the movie needs to happen. You don't need an explanation, just eat it, dumb kids.
I mean, I definitely didn't think about that the first time. This is the first time that has ever crossed my mind. I did not think about it. It worked, it went it went without question for me the first time I watched this movie, so I don't know why it stood out to me this time. But, yep. And I guess if I were to share one other interesting tidbit, fun fact here on Back to the Future, I know that it is the inspiration for Rick and Morty.
Oh, really?
Yep. Really? Doc and Marty became Rick and Morty.
Huh.
Well, it's kind of funny because I found out the creator, what's his name? Justin Roiland.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said that they would never touch the time travel because it's so confusing. Like, the whole multiverse is a lot easier to explain. And time travel, they said they would never do it. But it's kind of fun now knowing that Back to the Future inspired by, Rick and Morty is inspired by Into the Future, but they will never touch time travel. I think that's hilarious.
That is interesting. I didn't know Justin said that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but yeah, that's all I could say about this movie. But I just want to say thank you guys for being here for the first time. It's an honor, and I had a blast discussing this movie with y'all.
No, I think the honor is ours being on your pilot episode of your podcast. Thank you so much for having us.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll try to promote this as much as possible because this was fun.
Yeah, if you want, y'all just send a link to y'all's YouTube or podcast, like on Facebook, and I'll put it on the description for my podcast and for the post. That way, I can promote y'all too.
Oh, thanks,
man.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, but anyway, where can y'all guys can just tell yourselves again where they can find y'all at, your names, and where what y'all's podcast or YouTube channel's name.
Wait, you want to take a lead on this one?
Yeah. My YouTube name is Julian Slick.
Is that everything?
I mean, do you want me to give, like, what you can expect from a channel or something? I don't know.
Or your podcast name again? No,
Yeah. Well, I only have my podcast on YouTube, and it's made. And I'll try making an episode per week.
And again, that, how do you spell butt? Is that
B-U-S just and M-A-T-E-S.
Butt and mates. Okay. All right.
I should change the name.
It is an inviting name.
I like it, but I can see people don't you swear.
mine is called TV Trivia Pod. You can find it on all the podcast players. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at TV Trivia Pod. Again, I think Dave is going to put the a link in the show, or you'll be able to find it there. But if you just search TV Trivia Pod online or on Facebook, it'll come up, and then there's my link for everything. And yeah, that's how you can check me out.
All right, well, guys, this was the very first episode of Davo's Movie Podcast. Hope you all like it. Subscribe to me. Subscribe to these guys right here too. They deserve it too. So we hope you all have a blessed day and a Merry Christmas. And I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas too, by the way. So this is it. This is the end.
You too, man.
No problem. Davo and friends out.